So this morning, our scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. And you may have seen the sermon title, and you may be wondering, you know, I did Elvis and then I did the Beach Boys. You may be thinking I'm doing Kiss this week, so rock and roll all night or something like that. Not the case. Don't rule it out in the future, but not just yet. Okay. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. So when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then is it that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under my feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare ask him any more questions. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So I don't know if any of you have this problem, but I have a problem of making things way more difficult, way more complicated than they need to be. Yeah? I'm reminded of this every morning when I get up earlier than my wife. And so I'm trying to put on, I generally wear a jacket like this to work. So I'm always trying to put my jacket on, and I'm trying to do it in the dark, right? And I'm trying to do it in a way that doesn't wake up my wife. Now, there are 100 different ways that you can put on a jacket, right? I always pick whatever way is the most difficult and the most noisy, right? I find myself getting stuck in my jacket, right? Well, now, it's designed, literally made over thousands of years, right, to be put on and taken off, right? It should be easy. And yet, I manage to bang around, knock things over, drop pieces out of it, right? All kinds of things just to do something simple like that. And I think about this, and that reminds me that, so the other day, I'm trying to take one off. And I reach up to take it off because, you know, that makes sense, right? And hit my hand in the ceiling fan. Why? Why is this something that I do, right? Now, I tell you this to point out that I overcomplicate things. And I don't just do it when I'm putting on clothes. I do it in everything in my life, right? I'll sit there and worry myself about something to do with work. And how is this going to happen? What do I need to do? How can I make sure that this, what if somebody thinks this? What if this goes wrong, right? And it turns out it was just something that I could click a couple of buttons and it was fixed, right? And nobody even noticed I did it, right? But I've worried myself about it for two or three straight days. Right? How many times do we do this in our relationships, right? How, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and I've got to make sure that I've checked the right check boxes for my wife or girlfriend or husband or whatever, right? And I've got to make sure everything's perfect. And what if she thinks this? What if he thinks that? What if this happens? What will other people think? What about their parents, right? There's 100 different things. We do it in our workplaces, right? What if they look at me funny? What if they realize that I don't really know what I'm doing, right? What if they? And then we do it in our churches, right? What if, you know, so let's do something for other people, but what if they don't treat us the way that they should? What if they're not grateful? What if they take this money that we give them and use it incorrectly? What if this? What if that, right? We come up with a million different things that make everything that we do difficult, right? And we do it over and over and over again. And I keep reminding myself of my father always said something to me when I would, and apparently this has been something I've done my whole life, make something way more complicated than it needed to be. And he would say, "Keep it simple, stupid." Right? So that's the KISS method, right? Keep it simple. What would it mean for us to keep it simple in our lives, right? What is it that needs to be done for me to be able to get dressed in peace in the morning? Well, there's a million different simple things that I could do. Firstly, could be lay the clothes out the night before in a different place, right? Once every 5 weeks, I think about that, okay? But that's a simple solution to a simple problem, right? Instead, I'm using, you know, the flashlight on my phone and all this different stuff, and I'm laying it in different places. I'm making things more difficult than they need to be. What is the simple solution when we have issues in our relationships? Is it that we have to buy the perfect gift? Is it that we have to say the perfect thing? Or is it just that we remind and show through our actions and our words to our partners that we love them? Right? Isn't that the simple solution? What about in our workplaces? The simple solution is you do the thing that you're supposed to do, and you do it to the best of your ability. And if that's the way that somebody else likes it, great. And if it's not, well, too bad, right? You just do what you do, and you do it well. Do it to the glory of God, right? We take everything, we make it more complicated than it needs to be. And nowhere was that more common than in Jewish religion of Jesus' day. If you're not familiar, Jesus most likely was a Pharisee. Now, that may be really bother you to hear that, right? Because we're like, oh, they're the bad guys, right? But the Pharisees weren't really bad guys. They were people that argued a lot, right? That's what they did. That was kind of their job. They were like lawyers of the Jewish law, which just happened to be religious law, okay? And they would sit and they would argue about everything. How soon do you have to wash after touching something that's unclean? What time of day can you eat past on the Sabbath? What type of work can you do on the Sabbath? When is it actually dark so that the Sabbath starts, right? There's all this complicated rules that they had to come up with, figuring out what was right and what was wrong. And so when they're arguing with Jesus, they're doing what comes naturally to them, right? They're arguing over this tradition. And they had... Like, have you ever, any of y'all familiar with the United Methodist Book of Discipline? Anybody ever used that? Yeah. Is it fun?
No,
right? Paragraph 120.6.3, subsection 5, right? And then you realize, oh, well, that says something different than it was in paragraph 103.7, subsection 3, right? And you got to figure out, well, how does this apply to this and that and the other? If you think that is a lot... The Jewish folks have the Torah, which is, you know, the first books in the Old Testament, right? Then they have the Nevi'im, which is the prophets. And they have the Ketuvim, which is the writings, okay? And that's the whole Old Testament, right? But then you'd think that's enough, right? But no, they have the Midrash, which is volumes and volumes of commentary on the Torah. And then they have the Mishnah, which is commentary on the Midrash. And they have all these different commentaries upon commentaries upon commentaries, volumes upon volumes, where this rabbi said this and this rabbi said that. And they tell stories and they argue back and forth. They even wrote in the margins of the books, right? Said, Rabbi Leibowitz said this, but the next rabbi says, no, he was wrong. This is what we're talking about. Right? You see, they're piled up rules upon rules upon rules. And it looked like our tax code, right? And so it became, you know, the practice that you would try to trip somebody up in the questions. And so they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Because not only did they didn't just have 10, they had those 10, and then they had laws about those 10, and laws about those laws about those 10, and laws about those laws about those laws about those 10, right? And it went on and on and on and on and on. And pretty soon, nobody is really sure which one's the most important. And so they ask Jesus, yeah, which is the most important? And they're hoping he'll say something wrong. Can we get the picture? So Jesus answers that the most important law is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Okay. Now, this, you might know, is in Deuteronomy, which is in the Torah. It actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And it says, Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael. Okay. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now that's pretty important, right? If you're going to bind them on your arms and on your forehead, right? Well, what do we wear on our arms? Well, what do we used to wear on our arms? Watches, right? So we know what time it is. Now we might have a smartwatch that tells us everything, right? It tells you your heart rate. It tells you how far you've walked, like 10 feet today, right? It tells you blood oxygen level is, right? It tells you all kinds of stuff. You can surf the internet on it now, right? It's important because it's easy to see. So do you see why they might have wanted to bind this message on their arms? And then on their foreheads, every time they look in the mirror, every time somebody looks at them, they would see it and be reminded. And you put it on the frames of your door. Why? So you're going to notice every time you go in and every time you go out. So Jewish folks do what's called, they have these things called mezuzahs. And mezuzahs are little boxes that you put on the door frame. And you can see one in the picture. And they'll have a sheen on it. That's that letter. Okay, that Hebrew letter there. Looks like a pitchfork, kind of. And then inside is a tiny scroll that contains the words of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And it's such an important and foundational thing for folks who are Jewish that they will kiss their hand and touch the mezuzah as they go in and out of their doors. Now think about how important that must be, right? It's almost like, so some of you probably watched college football yesterday. What does Notre Dame do when they leave the locker room? Does anybody know? Yeah, the sign, right? Play like a champion today. Right? Closer to home, Clemson rubs the rock, right, when they run down the hill. Okay? Those practices remind them of something fundamental about what it is to be a member of that group, right? That your job is to play in a certain manner, to play with a certain intensity, right? To not give up and to be strong, right? So what is it that we're reminding ourselves when we touch the Shema? What you're doing is you're reminding yourself that God is the one who has given us all of our wonderful gifts. And we're reminding us of our responsibility to show our total devotion to that God who has given us so much. Right? So think about this. They go to Jesus and they say, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength, do you have any of that left for other gods? No, right? Well, then that takes care of commandment number one, right? You shall have no other gods before me. Well, I don't have any room for other gods if I'm giving God all of my heart, all of my soul, and my strength, right? Okay. And then Jesus says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So it gives us, and you've heard this 100 times, right? It gives us that up and down and the side to side, right? The up and down is loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the side to side, the horizontal line is love your neighbor as yourself. And so what if we as Christians cared so much about loving our neighbor as ourselves that we put that thought, that image, that commandment from Jesus on our doorposts? And I don't mean literally. You can go home and make a box and put it on there if you want. But the point is, what if every time we went in and out of our churches, every time we went in and out of our houses, we were reminded that the reason we're leaving is not to make money. The reason we're leaving is not to go to school. The reason that we're leaving is not to go to McDonald's or Walmart. But the reason that we're leaving is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that how can we do that in the line at the gas station? How can we do that at the post office? How can we do that in our schoolrooms? How can we do that in our families, right? Some of us may not be leaving the house very much, right? How can we do that in our homeschool situations? How can we love our neighbors in everything that we do? How can we love our neighbors as we approach the ballot box next week? Right? What might that mean if we as Christians paid so much attention to Jesus' commandment there to love our neighbor as ourselves? So, on Reformation Sunday, we talk about this. Now, I think it's complete coincidence that this happens to be the scripture for Reformation Sunday. However, I think it's perfect. Because why did Martin Luther leave the Roman Catholic Church? Well, one, he nailed a lot of stuff to a door, right? He had 95 theses, right? You have to be really careful with how you pronounce that. 95 theses, sentences, that he was upset with, and he nailed them to a door. And a lot of it was about theology. I think this about God, and you think that about God, and you're wrong, so I have to leave. How many times has that been repeated throughout Christian history? We have argued over what kind of instruments we can have in church. We've argued over how do we do communion. We've fought and split over how much water is involved in baptism, right? Now, is that keeping it simple, stupid? No. That is keeping it very complicated. Did Jesus say, when they asked him, what is the most important thing? Did he say, the most important thing is subsection 5, paragraph 8? Jesus said, let me turn you to the section on our values as United Methodists. No. He never once said, here's the most important thing about following Jesus. Make sure that you get X amount in the offering plate. No. He said the most important thing about following God is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Two things. And we've complicated it so much. Complicated it to the extent that we will shun someone who has different ideas than us. And we will tell them, you're not welcome in this place. Now, we may not say those words, right? But sometimes we can do that by actions, can't we? Or rather, inaction. If you're not thinking the way that I do, then you don't belong. What if we took the opportunity to love our neighbor every time that we pass through the threshold? What if we saw those neighbors, whether they're blue or red, right? We all know what that means, right? Whether they're young or old, whether they're black or white, whether they're men or women, whatever their differences are, if we loved our neighbor and said, you know what? I don't care if they think that you have to be fully immersed to get baptized. Cool, right? It ain't like we can't find enough water to do that as a Methodist, right? Okay. And what if they say that that communion works differently? Okay, great. Do you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? And do you want to love your neighbor as yourself? Awesome. Let's work together, right? What if that was what we did as Christians? Instead of focusing so much on the fine print, if we kept it simple. And when Jesus tells them, here's how you do it, right? Here's how you keep it simple. They're like, oh, well, now we don't know what to do with ourselves, right? I keep having this image of trying to hang a picture, okay? The more nails you put in the wall, the more difficult it is to get that picture to hang straight, isn't it? Right? If you're putting that picture up with one nail, then you can fix it. Two nails makes it more difficult. Three, four, five nails, you're never going to get it straight, right? The more stuff that you put up there that it has to hang on, the more difficult it is and the more challenging it is to actually make it work. Jesus gives us two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So don't be like me and get so hung up on all the little small details that you forget the easy thing. Right? Don't get in your head. Another football metaphor. Okay? You've watched many a times a kicker go out to kick the game-winning field goal, right? What happens most of the time. Somebody calls a timeout. Why do they do that?
To ice them
so that they get in their head, right? So that they think, oh gosh, now I got to think about it. And pretty soon, instead of just running up and kicking the ball like they've done 3.7 million times, right? Suddenly they trip, right? They forget which foot they start on. And they start thinking about, okay, I got to make sure the laces are out and I got to plant my foot exactly right. And this, instead of just kicking the ball, right? What if we do that over and over and over in our walks of Christ? Instead of focusing on the two things, loving God and loving our neighbor, we focus on a million other details. I suggest we run everything that we do through that two little things. Does this love God? Does this love our neighbor? If it doesn't do those two things, then don't do it anymore. If it does do those things, do it. Now that sounds really simple and kind of scary, because what you're going to do if you do that is you're going to see, hey, there's something that's really new and really scary that would love God and love our neighbor. What if we do it? It might work and it might be wonderful. It might not work, which is okay. Disciples made mistakes all the time, right? It's okay. But then, what we're going to find out that's even scarier is that something that we've done for a long time doesn't love God or our neighbor. Instead, it loves an organization or it loves a tradition. And then we have to have the guts to say, let's not do that anymore. Let's replace it with something that does love God and does love our neighbor. I think that we would have a whole lot easier time in everything that we do if we just paid attention to keeping it simple. And if we put on our heads and on our arms and on our door frames, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to try to do that this week. And that's a challenge for me because I get frustrated with people. I get frustrated with people when they cut me off in traffic. I get frustrated with people when I'm trying to go into the store and they come get in my face without a mask on, right? I get frustrated with people all the time. And I'm not loving my neighbor when I do that, right? It's really easy for me to become negative towards that person, to say hurtful things or to think hurtful things, right? And then I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. Because there's plenty of times when I'm getting on somebody's nerves. And I have to remember that. And then I don't want them to be hateful or cruel towards me. So that's my challenge for you this week. As you leave this place, as you go through the door frames of this building, think about, how can I love my neighbor today? How can I love my neighbor at work? How can I love my neighbor at the restaurant? How can I love my neighbor even in stressful situations? Because that's all Jesus asks, that we keep it simple. Love God, love our neighbor. Amen?